The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning, Gloria America. Bonjour. Hi, Kennedy Hewitt, live inside the Beltway, back inside the swamp. I landed yesterday coming down from Studio Winterfell, left Reagan National, and got hit with the wall of wet that defines Washington in July and August. And remember, I got to get back up there as soon as possible. But I'm doing an event tonight inside the Beltway interviewing Virginia Governor and First Lady Youngkin. So I'm here for a week. And I just know why you get out. But I'm back in time to celebrate my favorite clip of the year. If we can hear cut number four from First Lady Jill Biden.
But we can't get those things on our own. Raul helped build this organization with the understanding that the diversity of this community, as distinct as the Bogotas of the Bronx, as beautiful as the blossoms of Miami, and as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio, is your strength.
All right, now, Latinos are moving to the Republican column rather rapidly because Latinos actually enjoy opportunity and mobility, and they wish to rise in the United States, and they understand a serious border is necessary, and they are family folk, and they are hardworking, and they are like every other kind of American group. They want to succeed. They also like the family structure. They believe in excellent public schools, free of CRT and nonsense. They don't like unions in the public sector. They haven't got unions on their entry-level jobs when the first member of their family arrived in the United States, or fifth generation, who have businesses as large as any you can imagine, including the owner of the Angels, whose name I can never remember, who bought the Angels from Disney. Bernie Marino. Okay, so you can go from the person who just arrived to Bernie Marino, and you got the whole spectrum of Latino excellence in America, and they are not tacos. Or how did she say, bodega? What did she say?
She called them Bogotas.
She did? You know, that's actually something Bogotas. I would do. That's something I would do. Bogotas. You know, bodegas. I know bodegas because I lived in New York for a little bit. But the bodegas in the Bronx. And what was in Miami? Was it football teams in Miami? What was she talking about?
It was flowers in Miami.
And, flowers in Miami and tacos.
And breakfast tacos. As unique as breakfast tacos.
And I like Dr. Jill. I think she is doing a marvelous job keeping the president headed in the general direction of the yellow line on which he's supposed to stand, and occasionally giving him a line. But now that leads me to the morning news. Most Democrats don't want Biden in 2024. Well, that's a shock. What's really a shock is only 13%. This is the New York Times. This is not some far-right deal here. This is the New York Times. Only 13% of American voters think the nation are on the right track. Let's go to David Axelrod on CNN, cut number 15.
President Obama was under siege as well at this time in his presidency, and there was hand-wringing and quiet meetings going on as well. But he was also 30 years younger than this president, and that is a concern, the ability to run a rigorous, vigorous campaign and manage the presidency at the same time when he's in his 81st year. And I think that's a legitimate question, and it's one he's going to have to consider when he toes up to the line and makes the final call that he's going to go.
You know, 30 years. Wow. Ooh, David Axelrod doing the best to push the president into saying, not me, not me. Jake Tapper, you know, I think Jake's show will survive the shakeup that's coming at CNN. I don't know. They could just say everybody's gone, they being the new ownership. But while he's still there, let's capture this moment. Cut 16.
Nearly two-thirds of Democratic primary voters want a different nominee. Two-thirds. If you break it down by age, 94% of Democratic primary voters under the age of 30 94% say they don't want Biden. That is a stunning number.
Yes.
He swept his grandchildren, but other than that, I mean, like, who?
They're laughing at the president on Jake Tapper's show. That's how far the president has fallen. They're laughing at the president, and Jake is laughing with him and at him. With them and at him. And so even CNN figures it out. Meanwhile, over at the Hill, doomsday political scenario takes shape for Democrats. You know, Democrats try and get a state poll to say Herschel's losing, and they find a state poll that says that Dr. Oz is losing, and they find a state poll that says Mark Kelling is winning, and they think they can hold on to the Senate. That's like trying to surf through a tidal wave. That's like trying to paddleboard with a tsunami headed your way. Not going to happen. It is, people want these folks out. They hate this economy, rightly, and it's going to, in fact, the New York Times, again, I like to use the legacy media in the morning for the first segment. Relief eludes many renters as Fed raises interest rates. Rents are going up. This is a bulletin to the New York Times. Rents are not going up because of the Federal Reserve interest rate. Rent are going up because everything you need to do to maintain an apartment complex is going up. I drove by Terrace North on Thursday, site of my first hourly wage job in the summer of 1972, where I had to, I worked with three other buddies, Robbie, Kim, and Scott, to paint every carport of the 1,000 carports. And that meant scraping off the rust, putting on the primer, and painting it. And so you had to go through the whole, everyone got three coats. And then we had to dig ditches. I mean, it was a really great introduction to why you want to keep in school. But in any event, we're talking about Terrace North, the way that you run an apartment complex right now. I may have Charlie Dombeck this later, because if I invest, and I think I'm going to invest with Charlie Dombeck's Key City Capital in 2 weeks. And when I do that, I want to know that they can pass through costs. Because if you can't pass through costs, and almost every apartment owner does pass through costs to the renters, you're screwed when inflation hits. And we haven't had inflation in 40 years. People don't understand this. Everything gets up, including rents. So the renters are turning against Joe Biden. Then we have Gulf of Mexico's oil riches pose climate questions for Biden. That's in the Financial Times of London. No, they don't. Go get that oil, Joe. The only way you can possibly survive the 2024 cycle, if you choose to run, the only way is by embracing the Trump energy policy, which is everything on the agenda, everything plus nuclear. The Justice Department is investigating the PGA Tour, according to the Wall Street Journal, over potential antitrust violations in the LIV golf battle. Good. They should. The PGA Tour is using anti-competitive attempts to keep them the only game in town. That is classic Monopoly. Did you see the first picture of the universe? It really confused Joe Biden. He said, that didn't look that way when I was there and it got started. No, it's really amazing. Russia is seeking surveillance drones from Iran. Jake Sullivan told us that yesterday. We got a little Jake Sullivan I saw on the cut sheet this morning. Let's play cut number six, please.
The president has not expressed regret about his statements. What the president has been focused on is his view that the United States has important interests to advance and protect, including in partnership with Saudi Arabia. And among other things, we have to work on increasing the prospect for peace in the region, for Israel's integration into the region, for the war in Yemen, as I mentioned before, for energy and food security, and for many other things. And he also has a long and consistent record going back to his days as senator, including his years as vice president, including his time as president, where human rights is going to remain a feature of his agenda and an important feature of his agenda, and it will be on display while we're on this trip.
Now, Jake Sullivan is very good at having it both ways. Joe Biden's going to go hug the Saudis, and he should, because we need them to produce more oil, because we won't. And he's going to look past the Khashoggi assassination and everything he said for the last 10 years. And that's just fine by me, because realpolitik is the only way to run a government, because we have no permanent friends, no permanent enemies, only permanent interests. One of those interests is cheap energy, because it makes for American prosperity. So good for the president. But let's just be honest, shall we? They killed Khashoggi, and we don't care about it anymore. The Biden administration does not care. How Elon Musk damaged Twitter and left it worse off. He didn't do a thing. He figured it out, called fraud in the inducement back when I learned contracts. They told him there were so many accounts, there aren't. 20% of the accounts on Twitter are bots. and they're simply attaching themselves and spreading misinformation, and it's a radioactive site, and he understands that. And a federal judge rejected Steve Bannon's bid to delay his trial. Oh, poor Bannon. Bannon is going to jail, I think. And I don't know why anyone didn't tell him that. When we come back, an update. Poor Bannon. Just call him poor Bannon. He doesn't like me, but I don't like anyone going to jail who did politics. Politics has become criminalization. Criminalization of politics is not good for America. Even if you don't like the people who are going to go to jail, it's not a good thing for the country. When I come back, an update from the United Kingdom on who will be the next prime minister. That matters a lot to us, plus a market check. Lots ahead today on the Hugh Hewitt Show from the Beltway, again, where I'm sweating already.
But we can't get those things on our own. Raul helped build this organization with the understanding that the diversity of this community, as distinct as the Bogotas of the Bronx, as beautiful as the blossoms of Miami, and as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio, is your strength.
That is First Lady Jill Biden, and that music means David Drucker is in the house. David M. Drucker on Twitter with the Washington Examiner. Good morning, David. It seems that the president's inarticulateness is catching.
Well, listen, I mean, look, I'd like to think that if I were a presidential level speechwriter, I would have said, that's just too cute by half, and we don't need to cause ourselves a storm. Although I'd use a different word in front of the word storm, or to add a word, we don't need to cause ourselves a storm on social media and among our political opponents. So let's just drop it and talk about the uniqueness and the diversity of Hispanic culture, which, you know, Hugh, as an aside, is a really big deal that ad writers don't always get because.
Oh my gosh, different. They don't get. All you have to do is grow up like you and I did. Yeah, I'm 5 miles in California from. From Santa Ana, which I believe was at a time the highest concentration of Mexican-American born Americans in the United States. And that is one of many colors in Orange County, and L.A., where you're from, was even greater diversity.
I know. And then, you know, if you travel to Texas and New Mexico and Arizona and so on, I mean, if you go to Florida, and I mean, we can go on and on here. So, look, it's a mistake that generally politicians and their consultants make all the time. I just think, you know, when you're President Joe Biden and you're in a free fall, like everything's bad. And you just, you know, things like this just become bigger than they would have otherwise been. If his approval rating was at 45-50%, you know, people would say like, oh, like who missed that? Oh, well, nobody cares. But right
you
now,
you know, David, Joe Biden is making Wile E. Coyote appear deft. It is the worst run of a president in my memory. And let me play for you CNN. Jay Tapper, who usually maintains professional mean, cut 16 yesterday on CNN.
Nearly two-thirds of Democratic primary voters want a different nominee. Two-thirds. If you break it down by age, 94% of Democratic primary voters under the age of 30, 94% say they don't want Biden. That is a stunning number.
Yes.
he swept his grandchildren, but other than that, I mean, like, who?
So CNN is laughing at the president.
Well, look, I mean, when you look at the numbers, I mean, they are what they are. And, I think one of
he swept the, his children
right.
from Jake Tapper.
I get it, but. Look, you know, I think one of the issues that one of the challenges Biden has is that I think support for him was always a mile wide and an inch deep. You know, he was an avatar or a way for voters to, in 2020, you know, register their opposition to Donald Trump. But there wasn't anything more behind it than that. And even if you compare this to Trump, his most immediate predecessor, Trump always had a high floor because beyond opposition to the political establishment or Washington or a desire for change, there was a lot of support wrapped up in Trump personally for who he was that Biden just doesn't have. Obama had it. George W. Bush had it. Clinton had it. Reagan certainly had it. And so the minute that Biden started to falter, there wasn't any bank account where he could withdraw support that said, listen, I know you're messing up, but we always really liked you. They
you know, a moderate
represented in 20, and that was it.
A moderate Republican, self-proclaimed rhino, Jeff B. over on Twitter, got tens of thousands of followers, tweeted out yesterday, a 33% Biden approval in late October means the Republican are making a dead serious run in Washington and Oregon. I added, and Colorado, while locking down New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Ohio, and Nevada, not just a feeble and incoherent presidency, but a country that has glimpsed the wild-eyed, overreaching left lurching for our families and ravaging public schools while blocking the exits for schools with excellence and opportunity. I think they're going to get crushed, David. I just don't. Now, I got to ask you a quick question. I would like the Examiner to open a London bureau and send you, because I love the British parliamentary system when they do one of these things, which is, you know, cut the throat of the prime minister, throw them overboard, and then fight for a captain. Do you think you can persuade your editor to dispatch you over there for just like, it's only a 6 to 8 week deal.
So I think I'm going to take this, this soundbite. I'm going to craft a robocall, and I am going to harass my editors with this robocall.
Because honestly, Americans could get into this if someone other than me would cover. My audience is into it, but Tommy Tuggenhat, if he wins, it says watch Cotton and Pompeo because people love soldiers who fought for our freedom. And if it's Rishi, you know, that's like it's Theresa May again. Right. And so I would like somebody over there doing the job that David M. Drucker does for us every day in the United States. So, David, pack your bags. They could get a lot of traffic at DC Examiner if they send you over there.
I'm for it, too.
Drucker with a British accent next week, America, on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Stay tuned. Hour two ahead. I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. They're with Sierra Pacific. They lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to AndrewandTodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172.
Two-thirds of Democratic primary voters want a different nominee. Two-thirds. If you break it down by age, 94% of Democratic primary voters under the age of 30, 94% say they don't want Biden. That is a stunning number.
Yes.
I mean, he swept his grandchildren, but other than that, I mean, like,
Wow, America, I'm Hugh Hewitt, live inside the Beltway. Bonjour, hi, and good morning, America and Canada, in reverse order. I'm inside the Beltway again, stepped out of Reagan Airport into 97-degree humidity yesterday. And I'm here to tell you, I can't get back to Maine hurt fast enough, but Byron York joins me. He's sweating it out in the Beltway all summer. You see him on Fox, of course, he's the D.C. Examiner. Byron, I just suggested to David Drucker that he open the London Bureau for 8 weeks. Maybe you want the London Bureau, but I love this prime minister's race.
Well, you know, the incredible thing is we're now 2 months with sort of without a prime minister. Like,
yes.
What's going on right now? There's 2 months to go. There's stuff going on. There's terrible inflation in Great Britain, and obviously they're playing a role in the Ukraine war and all sorts of things going on, and they just don't have a leader. It's like if I understand a president and a prime minister are not comparable, but if the United States just went for a couple of months without a president.
Well, we've done that for 18 months, Byron. We've done 18 months of that already.
So far, yes. Okay.
And so did you walk into that, or did you step on a rake, or did you plan for me to say that?
I thought it was a very clever lead-in
to the Jake Tapper clip. I mean, when you've lost CNN, and not only lost them, they are laughing at the president, laughing at him.
Yeah, I think this says something. First of all, we all know it's true that Biden is in trouble and that he is too old to be president. You and I have been talking about that the whole time. It was the world's least surprising story. Joe Biden was born on November 20th, 1942, and we've always known that, including during the campaign last time. But I think this may say more about the Democratic media sphere than maybe about Joe Biden, because we saw this interesting kind of 1-2 punch from the New York Times story on Saturday, saying that Biden is too old to be president had kind of a nice gentle headline. It said he's testing the boundaries of age in the presidency. So, and then like on Monday morning, you have this New York Times Siena poll that shows that 64% of Democrats want a different nominee in 2024. And then when asked, well, why is it you don't want Joe Biden? They say he's too old. The majority say he's too old. So the New York Times, being the most respected media organization among Democrats and Democratic opinion leaders especially, has sort of just opened this up and laid a foundation for pushing Biden out in 2024.
There is also a very interesting phenomenon going on. I call it the blue bubble eclipse, Byron. When the blue bubble covers the sun, and you can't see anything except what the blue bubble wants you to see. And it's the old Chick-fil-A story, when Chick-fil-A was being boycotted and they had the longest lines in their lives. And right now there is a Hunter Biden story that no one will talk about. I just warned Mary Catherine Hamm. She brought it up on lunch. You're going to get her Beltway papers pulled if anyone talks about Hunter Biden. But the whole country is talking about that laptop, and nobody is talking about it on network television, because we don't know what to say, because most of it's triple X rated and we do not know what to say. It presents a national security concern. But I also think Democrats have now decided that the blue bubble is going to filter out all their other problems except Biden's age, so that they can claim that it's Biden who's dragging down the party instead of the overreaching of the far left. I think, and Bethany Mandel and I've been talking about this morning on Twitter, the public school issue, I'm going to talk with Glenn Youngkin tonight, interview him in front of a group of young conservatives. I think Glenn Youngkin's issue is the country's issue, that the public schools got ravaged by COVID and are continuing to be oppressed by public teachers unions, and that parents are walking out. They are done with this woke extremism.
Yeah, and I think that actually what this poll shows is that the age issue is not crowding out other issues for voters. The Times actually spoke to one woman. She's a 38-year-old preschool teacher, Northern Michigan. She says, look, I'm just going to come out and say it. I want younger blood. I'm tired of all these old people running the country. And then she described how she voted for Biden in 2020 because she wanted to heal the nation's divisions. But now, quote, this is New York Times writing, but now she is preoccupied with what she describes as crippling increases in her cost of living. So this whole healing the nation's division thing has gone away in the face of being unable to fill up your car and buy groceries.
Yeah, I mean, tweets have receded. Doesn't mean that this story cycle is helping the former president, because age is going to figure a lot. Byron, will the British prime minister election to replace Boris Johnson tell us anything about American Republican politics, anything at all?
You know, I'm always a little bit hesitant about that, 'cause it's such an easy comparison. But obviously, the incumbent president will be Joe Biden in 2024. So it's just not. I just don't think it's going to be very comparable. We've done this kind of amazing thing, elected a person who it was known at the time would be 82 years old at the end of his presidency, and is showing his age. And, you know, people will say to me, well, gosh, lots of people have very productive, energetic lives in their 80s. Well, of course they do. But we're just talking about one person, Joe Biden, the president of the United States, who appears to be too old for the job and slowing down. So, you know, I just don't see huge comparisons there.
Alternative take. Let me get your reaction to this, that mm-hmm. Boris Johnson had a hardcore group of people who loved Boris Johnson for his personal idiosyncrasies, his approach to governing, his showing up in Ukraine, just Boris being Boris. They wanted Boris to be Boris even to the end when 50 people walked out on him. Not the whole party, but half the party, and it was untenable. The replacement of Boris, who do you follow Boris with? May tell us something about where Republicans go post-Trump. Maybe not immediately, but 4 years from now. And if they go to Tommy Tuggenhut, if they go to a soldier who has nothing to do with Boris, zero to do with Boris, that will tell us something. What say you about my if they go with Rishi, that's a revolution. That's going back to Theresa May, and I don't think that's going to happen, by the way. But what do you think that would tell us if they go to Tugendhat, the combat veteran?
Well, I tell you the truth, I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to stay with uninspired leadership. As far as the United States is concerned, Tom Cotton, for example, has been running pretty hard and has had trouble picking up traction. Mike Pompeo, who also has very good military credentials, as well as having been the head of the CIA and the Secretary of State, also having trouble picking up support. And I do think when Trump tapped into an opposition to endless wars, and most especially wars in which the United States did not have a very, very clear and specific interest, I think it's going to be harder for those candidates to appeal to the Republican electorate this time around.
Well, you know, Reagan did not campaign on endless wars. I'm looking for Reagan. I'm looking for someone who will take on Jimmy Carter. I'm looking for someone who will show up and say, we don't have to have double-digit inflation, double-digit interest rates, and rising unemployment. I'm looking for someone who will cut taxes and rearm, not someone who will go off in search of an endless war. I don't know if it's Cotton or Pompeo or if it's Tim Scott or if it's Rick Scott. I just wonder if they turn to somebody other than Trump, what do the British conservatives have to tell us? I think they will be serious about national security. I think that's what they're going to tell us.
Well, but does that mean that the electorate, the Republican electorate in Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina is going to feel that way? I'm not entirely sure. And you have to remember, the person who is widely thought of as the front runner, if there were a Trump-less race, Ron DeSantis, also has military experience.
Yes, he does. That was the punchline.
Exactly.
He deployed.
Yeah. You're going to have, I think it's pretty likely you're going to have somebody with military experience at the very top of the Republican race.
That's what I believe. I believe that if it's a Trumpless or a Trump revolt, Iowa, and by the way, it's not what the national GOP thinks. It's what Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina thinks, because then it's over. It's over. After those three, it's done. The debates and those three primaries, and it's over. Byron York, always a pleasure. Talking to one of the future debate moderators right there, because if I am the RNC and I'm looking for someone to run a Republican debate not named Hugh, his name will be Byron. I'll be right back, America. Stay tuned.
Can one man save the world in a thousand years?
Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt, Inside the Beltway. If you've been thrilled by this song, having heard it on Fox and Friends yesterday or on my show yesterday or over the weekend, you know that John Andrzejczyk took a trip to Ukraine, to Kyiv, and recorded this brand new anthem with the Ukrainian National Symphony. And he joins me this morning. Good morning, John. How are you?
Hugh, always great to see you.
It's always great that you get up early to talk to me. I appreciate it. Musicians just do not get up early, but John does. John, this is a thrilling song. I heard it first at the Save Our Allies event in Washington, D.C. I have replayed it many, many times. Will you tell people the backstory? How did this come to be?
Ironically, it started with Afghanistan. As you know, Hugh, I wrote a song about the withdrawal that quickly found me embedded with many of the NGOs rescuing our allies that we abandoned. And one of them that I came across was this group, Save Our Allies, incredible organization started by a woman, Sarah Varado, who has a catastrophically injured husband, and three or four special forces, Green Berets. They got 12,000 people out in 10 days, which is just amazing. And we became friends, and we were doing some work for our Afghan vets when Ukraine broke out. And I'd written this song, Can One Man Save the World? And I was going on a string quartet tour, so I was arranging the song for my string quartet. And I had a thought of, why don't we go to Poland and play this song with the Polish orchestra to recognize Poland's incredible role in taking refugees. And I called my Save Our Allies friends. I said, how about we do this? They said, let me call you back. They called me back a couple of days later. They said, how would you like to do this with the orchestra in Ukraine? And I was stunned. I didn't know if they were serious. I said, do they even exist? Turns out they kind of did. They were scattered, but But long story short, 2 weeks later, I got an email in my inbox with a plane ticket to Krakow. I had a long talk with my wife.
Long talk.
Drove to the airport. Yeah, long talk. Drove to the airport the next day, and 2 days later, found myself in Kyiv preparing to film this video at the Maria, the plane that Putin destroyed at the outset of the war.
Yeah, you know, John, I have forever changed my view of orchestras because of something you and Carla told the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt and I when we were visiting in California. Said, watch Mozart in the Jungle. And what it does for people who are not orchestra members is take you inside the lives of the musicians who provide symphony to us. And obviously, people like you, Five for Fighting, I know and I understand your life, but I don't understand the lives of classical musicians. I now believe there is a movie to be made about those musicians who are backing you up on this song. Because they all came from somewhere in hiding, right? They're just amazing, courageous artists.
Yes, they were. You know, our translator there, her brother had been on the front for 11 days. She had not heard from him. Every one of those orchestra members has a story like that. They either lost what loved ones or they knew somebody who lost loved ones. And for them to come from across the country and to sit there in front of that plane and play, I think expresses the fortitude and heroism and spine of all the Ukrainians. And you're right, Hugh, to see them in this video. There was a moment when we were recording one of the takes. I saw the corner of my eye an entourage of military folks coming over. It was one of the generals that approved us to film in this location. And the orchestra just kind of stood up and the general said, please play me the song. And they took flight. And they were playing with vigor and passion. The general took out his phone and started filming them. They were crying. By the end of the song, I'd lost it. And there was this moment of silence that really kind of spoke to while we were there, this common humanity expressing through music, a support of an American and Ukrainians, and the fact that they're fighting for their survival. And it all kind of hit home. But you're right. Music has a unique way of permeating borders. And one of our goals is to get this into Russia so the Russian people understand that they are pariahs.
Oh, what a great idea. I hope that Elon Musk hears this or sees the video, which is over at fiveforfighting.com. Just go and watch the video. You can hear the song and be moved, but you have to watch the video. And we played on the Salem News Channel yesterday. We'll play it again tomorrow. We'll play it because I want people to be moved by it. And the video, just play a little bit for us right now, Generalissimo, so people can hear the orchestra in the back, and now they will be in the front of your mind.
Does freedom still have appetite? Is there the will, the guts to fight? Can a single flame light up the night? I don't know. Yeah, but he's got your Can one man save the world in a thousand years? Will they say your name, or is this all in vain? Can one man save the world?
So people are hearing the orchestration. First of all, did you do the orchestration for this?
Well, in the backseat of a van on our tour, I kind of sketched it out, and together me and my amazing MD, Katie Kresik, did it. But to see their faces and to be in that location, it was just surreal, Hugh. I mean, it was a war zone still. I mean,
it still is. They struck yesterday.
Yeah.
I got to ask you, it just doesn't happen. All right. You just don't show up in Ukraine and say, bring me the Ukrainian National Symphony and let's go to the Maiden and let's in a dangerous place. I mean, Putin would have killed you if he'd known you were there. And you don't do it in one take. It's got to take, I don't know how many takes it took. Tell me just about the actual mechanics, John Androsic. People can watch it at Five for Fighting, but how did it happen?
It was a series of miracles, but basically Save Our Allies has an operator there named Seaspray. He is an American hero. He went to Afghanistan, lost 30 pounds in 30 days. He went to Ukraine. He is the individual who personally rescued Benjamin Hall, the Fox News reporter that was severely injured. He has a unique relationship with the Ukrainians, and President Zelensky himself approved us doing this. C-Spray vouched for me. He understood what we were doing. But we always thought that this is not going to happen. Even it rained the morning the orchestra showed up. So we're, oh, my God, it's raining. But the symbolism of that location was what it's all about, and the Ukrainian people. And I still can't believe it happened. I'm grateful it did. And we're calling for a larger mission than this video. We're calling for a global concert, a Live Aid type concert for Ukraine. Back in the day, artists got together on big issues and made a statement. And we need a cultural front on this war. There's an economic front, a political front, but we need a cultural front. So this is just step one of bigger things to put the pressure on Russia culturally. And hopefully this video is a small piece of that.
Artists who are listening, how do they, Bono is no doubt listening this morning. How do they find you, John? If they want to be part of that concert for New York, but concert for Ukraine, how do they do that?
They can email me at fightforfighting.com. There's an email address. They can reach out to me on Twitter. They can call my agents at Wasserman. They can just say it on the news, and I will be the first person at their door being grateful. We need the big guns. You know, we need Springsteen. We need Bono. Paul McCartney just turned 80. My man is going strong. The concert for New York, that was his idea. So he's a leader in this. And then we need the Gagas, the Ariana Grandes. We need everybody. And I think it can be a powerful salvo in this war. As you know, Hugh, the prognosis is not great for Ukraine right now. They are being devoured slowly. 20% of Ukraine is now controlled by Russia. And if there's not a game changer, I fear that it's going to be 2 years from now, the Polish border, and our kids, our soldiers, who are going to be having to fight this war. We have to stop it now.
Now, I am an optimist that American public opinion is going to oblige an increase in arms flow. But as the late Andrew Breitbart used to say, politics is downstream from culture. Culture will keep Ukraine at the front of mind as opposed to back of mind, rather than, oh, not, I hope they're doing well. No actual involvement. You mentioned C-Spray. He features prominently in Tim Kennedy's memoir, Scars and Stripes, which I finished reading over the weekend. And C-Spray is an amazing guy. He's all in, right? You can't be more all in than C-Spray was in Afghanistan and is in Ukraine. And not everyone can do that, but everyone can do music, enjoy music, and make a donation. But they got to know it's going to the right people.
Right. No, thank you. Save Our Allies. Again, I saw it firsthand. I literally saw the pallets of humanitarian aid. They are one of the few organizations that can get the aid to the front, to the cities in the front. It's very, you can get it to Kyiv, but it's hard to get it out to the east where they really need it. They do that. They track it. They do it for the right reasons. Nobody's getting rich on this thing from these folks. So every penny that goes to Save Our Allies truly makes a difference. For freedom in the world. And really, that's what we're fighting for. It's a tipping point in history. You know, I don't want to be in Taiwan 2 years from now writing songs. So I think everything's riding on this, and Save Our Allies is a good place to go.
We failed our allies and friends in Afghanistan. We have not failed our allies and friends in Ukraine, but we can do more. And a concert for Ukraine is something that every artist ought to be clamoring with John to get done. And John, come back and update us in a week. In the meantime, head over to fiveforfighting.com and send that video everywhere. And if you know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who would be involved in the concert for Ukraine, tell them we need to get that. Or what would be the best venue for that? You can't put it in Ukraine because Putin will kill it. Because he will, you know.
It needs to be in Poland. Poland has been the champs of this. And to all your audience, please share the video. If you know high influencers, the only way this works is if the world sees this video. So everybody matters. Everybody counts. It needs to be in Poland. Thank you, Hugh. You are the greatest. And, you know, we share the same mind and same heart. And I love you and Betsy. So thank you.
Thank you, John. Our best to Carla. And everybody go over to fiveforfighting.com and watch this. And, you know, and thank you, John. I tell everyone, you don't know the musician. That's why, by the way, I was at a concert on Sunday night for our 40th wedding anniversary. And it's a show, right? It's classic rock backed by an orchestra. And musicians have to eat. They have to make a living. And John and Carla said, watch this Mozart in a Jungle. If you don't know what an orchestra is like, I don't know anything about orchestras. My gosh, I know about Adam and Dwayne and Jacob, and I know about running radio and television shows. I don't know anything about orchestras. Mozart in the Jungle. It's contrived, but it is interesting in that, okay, you start looking. I'm studying the musicians at the concert on Sunday night, not the front men and women, the musicians in the back. I'm looking at the third violin. I'm looking at the cellist. I'm looking at them thinking, I wonder what they think about playing classic rock back up down at Bowdoin College when the Downeasters will come that far. I just want, that's how you change. Well, in this video, what are the Ukrainians doing? They're trying to save their country. Head over to Five for Fighting. Up next, Rob Beard is the senior vice president of Micron.com. We're going to talk about chips. Part of the national global conversation is where to get them made and when and why it should be the United States. Stay tuned.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.